ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನಾರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಾಯ ಮುದೀರಯೇ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, titled Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal, Text 31. Tvam eva kalo nimisho jananam ayur lavadi avyayvai ಕ್ಷಿಣೋಸಿ ಕುಟಸ್ಥ ಆತ್ಮ ಪರಮೇಷ್ಠಿ ಅಜೋ ಮಹಾಂಸ್ ತ್ವಂ ಜೀವಲೋಕಸ್ಯ ಸಜೀವ ಆತ್ಮ ತ್ವಮೇವ ಕಾಲೋ ನಿಮಿಷೋ ಜನಾನಾಂ ಆಯುರ್ಲವಾದಿ ಅವ್ಯವೈಕ್ಷಿಣೋಸಿ ಕುಟಸ್ಥ ಆತ್ಮ ಪರಮೇಷ್ಠಿ ಅಜೋ ಮಹಾಂಸ್ ತ್ವಂ ಜೀವಲೋಕಸ್ಯ ಚ ಜೀವ ಆತ್ಮ ತ್ವಂ ಏವ ಕಾಲೋ ನಿಮಿಷೋ ಜನಾನಾಂ ಆಯುರ್ಲವಾದಿ ಅವಯವೈಕ್ಷಿಣೋಸಿ ಕುಟಸ್ಥ ಆತ್ಮ ಪರಮೇಷ್ಠಿ ಅಜೋ ಮಹಾಂಸ್ ತ್ವಂ ಜೀವಲೋಕಸ್ಯ ಸಜೀವ ಆತ್ಮ ತ್ವಮೇವ ಕಾಲೋ ನಿಮಿಷೋ ಜನಾನಾಂ ಆಯುರ್ಲವಾದಿ ಅವಯವೈಷಿಣೋಸಿ ಕುಟಸ್ಥ ಆತ್ಮ ಪರಮೇಷ್ಠಿ ಅಜೋ ಮಹಾಂ ತ್ವಂ ಜೀವಲೋಕಸ್ಯ ಸಜೀವ ಆತ್ಮ. ಹಲೋ ನಿಮಿಷೋ ಜನಾನಾಂ ಯುಲವಾದಿ ಅವಯೈಷಿಣೋಸಿ ಕುಟಸ್ಥ ಆತ್ಮ ಪರಮೇಷ್ಠಿ ಅಜೋಸ್ಮಹಾಂಸ್ ತ್ವಂ ಜೀವಲೋಕಸ್ಯ ಸಜೀವ ಆತ್ಮ ತ್ವಮೇವ ಕಾಲೋ ನಿಮಿಷೋ ಜನಾನಾಂ ಆಯುರ್ಲವಾದಿ ಅವವೈಷಿಣೋಸಿ ಕುಟಸ್ಥ ಆತ್ಮ ಪರಮೇಷ್ಠಿ ಅಜೋ ಮಹಾಂಸ್ ತ್ವಂ ಜೀವಲೋಕಸ್ಯ ಸಜೀವ ಆತ್ಮ ತ್ವಮೇವ ಕಾಲೋ ನಿಮಿಷೋ ಜನಾನಾಂ ಆಯುರ್ಲವಾದಿ ಅವಯಿಷಿಣೋಸಿ ಕುಟಸ್ಥ ಆತ್ಮ ಪರಮೇಷ್ಠಿ ಅಜೋ ಮಹಾಂಸ್ ತ್ವಂ ಜೀವಲೋಕಸ್ಯ ಜೀವ ಆತ್ಮ ತ್ವಮೇವ ಕಾಲೋ ಜಿಮಿಷೋ ನಿವಾನನಾಂ ayulavadi avayaishnosi kutastva atma parameshya. Swam, you, Eva, indeed, Kala, unlimited time, Animisha, unblinking, Jananam, of all living entities, Ayu, the duration of life, Lava Adi, consisting of seconds, moments, minutes and hours, Avayavai, by different parts. Chinosi, reduce. Kutastha, without being affected by anything. Atma, the super soul. Parameshti, the supreme lord. Sorry. Aja, the unborn, Mahan, the great, Tvam, you, Jiva Lokasya, of this material world, Cha, also, Jiva, the cause of life, Atma, the super soul. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O my Lord, your Lordship is eternally awake, seeing everything that happens. As eternal time, you reduce the duration of life for all living entities through your different parts, such as moments, seconds, minutes, and hours. Nonetheless, you are unchanged, resting in one place as the super soul, witness, and supreme Lord. The birthless, all-pervading controller who is the cause of life for all living entities. Purport. In this verse, the word kutastha is very important. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated everywhere, He is the central unchanging point. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayeshe arjuna tishtati. The Lord is situated in full in the core of everyone's heart. The Lord is situated in full in the core of everyone's heart. As indicated in the Upanishads by the word ekatvam. Although there are millions and millions of living entities, the Lord is situated as a super soul in every one of them. Nonetheless, He is one in many. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam. He has many forms, yet they are Advaita, one and unchanging. Since the Lord is all-pervading, He is also situated in eternal time. The living entities are described as parts and parcels of the Lord, because He is the life and soul of all living entities, being situated within their hearts as the Antaryami, as enunciated by the philosophy of inconceivable oneness and difference, Achintya Veda Veda. Since the living entities are part of God, they are one in quality with the Lord, yet they are different from Him. The super soul inspires all living entities to act, is one and changeless. There are varieties of subjects, objects and activities, yet the Lord is one. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to Canto 7, Chapter 3, titled Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal, Text 31. ಓಮಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜನಾಂಜನಾಶ್ಲಾಕಾಯ ಚಕ್ಷೂರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋವಿಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಗದಾ ಮಾಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಾಪದಂತಿಕಂ. ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೋ ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗರಜಾತಂ ಸಾಗನಾ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಾಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪದಾನ್ ಸಹಗನ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ. ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಜಾಯಪತಾಕ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪದಾಯ ನಿತಾಯ ಕೃಪ ಪ್ರದಾಯಿನೇ ಗೌರಕತಾ ದಾಮದಾಯ ನಗರ ಗ್ರಾಮತಾರಿಣೇ. ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಗೋಪೀಪರಾನಂದನ ದಾಸೇ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೇ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣೇ ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರವಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಮುಖಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಭಂಗುಂ ಲಂಗಾಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯತ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಂತಾರಿಣಂ ಯತ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯೈಶ್ವರಂ. ಕಾಂಚನ ಸ್ಮೃತೇ ಯಸ್ಮಿನ್ ದುಷ್ಕರಂ ಸುಕರಂ ಭವೇತ್ ವಿಸ್ಮೃತೇ ವಿಪರೀತಂ ಸ್ಯಾತ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿತಂ. I don't think it's because of the fan. I don't know what happened. Okay. So here, in this purport, we have been taught a very important concept. Prabhupada is very clearly explaining a very important concept. Not just a concept, but it is a reality. A concept which is a reality. Which is that if you notice, Prabhupada uses the expression that he is the central unchanging point. He's talking about Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridayeshi Arjuna Tishtati. So, the Lord is situated in full in the core of everyone's heart. So, Prabhupada is using the expression that he is the central unchanging point. And then he says, he is situated in full in the core of everyone's heart. So, unchanging and situated in full, which means what is situated in our heart is actually Krishna. Right? But generally we think it's Paramatma. It's correct, it's Paramatma. So we need to clarify this very clearly. What does Prabhupada mean that the Lord is situated in full in the core of one's heart? So, Prabhupada himself gives the example that when you're far away from a mountain, you may see a green patch. And he says that is the Brahman. As you get closer to the mountain, then you see the trees on the mountain. And he says that is Paramatma. And as you reach the mountain, you will see so much life, flora and fauna, so much life, animals. So that is like Bhagavan, Prabhupada says. So are there three mountains? No. There is only one mountain. But depending on the person, he is seeing the mountain either as a green patch, or he's seeing the mountain, the closer he is, he sees better. So he's a little bit more closer, then he sees the trees. And fully close, then you see all the life within the mountain. So there is one mountain, there are no three mountains. So what is situated is the mountain in full. But you are not seeing the mountain in full. That is what is happening. So like that, Krishna is seated in everybody's heart. So, the yogis, they can see him as Paramatma. But the devotees, they can see him as Radha Madhava. They see him as Madhava. Shyamasundara, whatever. So you can see the threefold bending form of the Lord in the heart. So it is the same Krishna. But depending on who is approaching, that much is revealed. So if an impersonalist approaches, he can only see the impersonal form of the Lord. If the yogi approaches, he can see the Paramatma. But if a devotee approaches, he can see Krishna seated in one's heart. So Prabhupada is explaining, Krishna is full in the core of everyone's heart. He is situated in full. So this is something which we have to understand. Now, then you will think, okay, Krishna is situated. This is in terms of three different types of people. Right? Three different types of people. The impersonalists, the yogis, and bhaktas. So that is one type of discussion about mountains. Now let us discuss only about devotees. Even among devotees, when we discuss, we say Krishna is superior to Vishnu. Right? We say Rama is superior to Vishnu and Krishna is superior to Rama. So, are there... Okay, this is understandable from the point... we already finished discussing about impersonalists, the yogis and the devotees. Now we are talking only about devotees. So among devotees, how do we understand this? Are we talking about many different types of God? Or all equal? Or are we talking about one God? One God who is manifesting himself in different ways. What are we talking about? We are talking about one God. For example, the moon. The moon is actually the moon, the full moon. But you don't see the full moon all the time. Right? So you only see sometimes, when there is dark moon, you don't see the moon at all. But then, the first day you begin to see a fraction of that moon. So as the days pass by, the moon begins to, you begin to see more and more of the moon. So finally you see the full moon. So when you say Krishna, it means you are seeing the full moon. So it is not that Rama is not the full moon, he is also the full moon. But you're not seeing the full moon. Of course, there is one important difference. When we say God is one, it does not mean that all these incarnations exist separately. At the same time, they are one. This is called Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva also in one sense. Because, of course, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva is referred generally in terms of the living entity's oneness with God and difference. But when we say God is one, at the same time, he also is different in terms of is manifestation. For example, it is not that there is Ayodhya in the spiritual world. There is Shvetadvipa in the spiritual world. Lord Chaitanya lives there. There is Vaikuntha. But at the same time, while there are all these different incarnations of the Lord, incarnation means one who comes down. While all these expansions of the Lord exist in the spiritual world, at the same time, they are one person. But according to the mood of the devotee, only certain aspects of that person is revealed. So, Krishna in Vrindavan is the full revelation of God. Full revelation of God. Krishna in Vaikuntha is also the full Krishna, but it's not the full revelation of God. Krishna in Ayodhya, Rama, is also full Krishna, but it's not the full revelation of God. Just like the full moon. Full moon is full, but when you see a partial moon, when you see half moon, it's not that the moon is half. So it depends on, why does Vaikuntha exist? Why does Vaikuntha exist? Why does Ayodhya exist? Why do all these things exist? It is for the purpose of pastimes, and it is for the purpose of to accommodate the different moods of the living entities. For example, once Prabhupada is asked this question by Malati Mataji, that if the gopis are the highest, then why do we need, then what about the other devotees? So then Prabhupada was trying to explain to her, just like he told her, that why do you like your child more than the other children? Now maybe another child may be more smarter, maybe more beautiful, but you like your child. So just because Krishna is the full revelation of God does not mean that everybody seeks a relationship with the full revelation of God. Different living entities may seek relationship with the complete Lord who is manifesting in different forms. Somebody may seek a relationship with Lord Ramachandra in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Murari Gupta was glorified. So it is not that Lord Chaitanya has come, and if you are not going to accept the mood of, if you don't desire to become a gopi, something is wrong. No, we all of us desire to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. Even Hanuman, even all of, everybody has great appreciation for the residents of Vrindavan. Everybody has extreme, Gopakumar, if you see the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, you can see that every devotee has appreciation for somebody superior to them. They know that these people are superior. But yet, they do not wish to give up their relationship with the Lord. So that is the point. That it is not that Lord Chaitanya has come to teach us, we should aspire only to become a gopi in Goloka Vrindavan. That's not the point. What Lord Chaitanya has come to teach us is, we should follow in the footsteps of the gopis. Gopi bartu padakamalayo dasa dasa anudasa. And whatever is our constitutional position, that we will achieve. Of course, there's a whole discussion of whether the constitutional position can be changed. I don't know. I mean, there is some kind of it's not very clear from the nectar of devotion. It appears it is possible. But that's a whole different discussion. What is the point of discussing about perfection when we are not even there? We don't even understand what perfection is. Then where is the question of understanding what is less perfect, more perfect, most perfect? Absolutely meaningless. So first of all, let us get out of our sickness. It's like saying that when you are sick, and somebody comes and describes to you, once you get well, this pleasure is like that, it makes no sense, you're suffering here. So that, first of all, only when you get out of suffering, then you begin to understand a little bit about the different types of happiness. So like that, when we are in this conditioned state, we cannot even understand what is the meaning of different types of perfection. So let us not even try to understand it. We just accept what Prabhupada is saying, that he's full God. And at least theoretically we know what it is. So let's just practice our Krishna consciousness sincerely. And whatever it is, let Krishna take care, let Krishna take charge. Like how Prabhupada said, we don't try to see Krishna, but we try to act in such a way that Krishna sees us. So this is our philosophy. For example, one very important point that I wanted to bring out in this verse is that how Krishna is saying, Prabhupada is saying that Krishna is situated in full. Now, within ISKCON, we have a temple called Sri Sri Radha Parthasarthi Temple, personally installed by Prabhupada, the deities, in Delhi. So, on the 9th of January, 1976, there is a morning walk in Madras. So, in that morning walk, Achyutananda asks Prabhupada this question. Radha Parthasarathi, I'm paraphrasing it here. He is not sure how it sounds right, Radha and Parthasarathi. Radha in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it seems kind of out of place. And Prabhupada explains, do you mean Radha is out of Krishna when Krishna is in the battlefield? She is his Alladini Shakti. Just that she is not manifest. Prabhupada uses the same expression. Just that she is not manifest. Then Prabhupada defends it. Yes, it's not that Radharani is not with Krishna when Krishna is in, but she is not manifest. So this is the point. That Krishna is in full even when he is in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Now, of course, this, I don't know what is the current situation, but I remember that at one point in time, there was a prominent sannyasi who was outside of ISKCON, who was Prabhupada's god-nephew, prominent Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasi, and he said, your Prabhupada did not get that right, there is some rasabhasa there, Radha Parthasarathi. And I remember last year when I was in Vrindavan, one of our own ISKCON devotees told me, that doesn't sound right. I said, what do you mean it doesn't sound right? I mean, Prabhupada himself explained this very clearly. So these are things which are important, that if we are followers of Prabhupada, we have to accept the explanation that he gives. And he very clearly says in that conversation, it is not rasabhasa. It's not rasabhasa. It is, I mean, this is all perfect. This Radha Parthasarathi deity is perfect. So there is no need for all these logical explanations. There could be so many explanations. Radha Parthasarathi, because it is rasabhasa, all kinds of explanations. But Prabhupada has very clearly put his foot down. He has very clearly said, it is fine. So that is the mood which we accept. That is the mood in which we accept Prabhupada's teachings. Like Prabhupada said in relation to his own spiritual master, he said, I don't know Krishna, but I know my Guru Maharaj, and he knows Krishna. So when we accept the teachings of Krishna consciousness, this should be our mood. We don't know Krishna. We don't know all this logic, all these arguments, dry arguments and conclusions. We are interested in these things. We are interested in one thing. If Prabhupada said it, he's explained it, we simply accept it. We don't know Krishna. We know Prabhupada. Prabhupada, the commander-in-chief of Lord Chaitanya's army. He who is our founder Acharya. And he whom everybody in ISKCON follows. Who is meant to follow, meant to obey, meant to please. We just know what he says. And that's perfect. And Lord Chaitanya's commander-in-chief cannot be wrong. So we need to have that implicit faith. Like when Prabhupada brought his disciples to India, he was very proud of one fact, that he said, these disciples of mine, they may not be very erudite, they may not be very scholarly like my god brothers, so they may not be very qualified in so many ways, but they have one qualification, they listen to me, absolutely. So that is why the Krishna consciousness movement has been established across the world. It succeeded because Prabhupada believed that when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, one should accept Vyavasatmika Buddhir Ekeha Kuru Nandanaha. That means the single-pointed attention. That Prabhupada is very impressed with that purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur from the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada made the mission of his spiritual master his life and soul. And ISKCON succeeded because his disciples and now his followers, it will succeed to the extent that we absolutely follow his instructions and we absolutely try to please him. So this is the secret of success for both individually for us and collectively as the institution. But I remember last time that I gave a class, this was just about 2 weeks ago. After I gave a class, there were two devotees. And one of them told me, hey, are you some kind of a Ritvik? You speak only about Prabhupada in your class. And then you don't speak about your gurus. So then I said, are you sure that's the definition of Ritvik? Because I've been in the middle of it. I know every single argument about Ritvikism. And the main argument is that Prabhupada should be, there are many shades, like how Jayadvait Maharaj says, Baskin Robbins is, like he writes in one article, Baskin Robbins, here we come. So you cannot identify, so many different shades of Ritvikism. Essentially Ritvikism means you accept Prabhupada as your Diksha Guru. So just because, but at the same time, that does not mean that, let me try to explain this. So when this devotee said this, there's another devotee with him. And he said, what do you mean? You don't you see that when he begins a Bhagavatam class, he clearly pronounces, he clearly utters the pranam mantra of his Diksha and Siksha Gurus. So he was trying to make this other devotee think, and I was trying to explain to him, this is a misconception. That is not that in ISKCON, we are trying to please Prabhupada, we are trying to please the Gurus, we are trying to please the Vaishnavas. These are all not simultaneous activities. It's not that pleasing Prabhupada, pleasing Guru, these are all separate. There is only one activity called pleasing Prabhupada. There's only one activity called pleasing Prabhupada. What does pleasing Prabhupada mean? It means to obey his instructions. What does obey his instructions means? Read his books, attend the morning program. It means to accept a guru, follow a guru, have faith in the guru. All these are parts of the process. I'm sitting here simply because my gurus, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami and His Grace Gopi Parandan Prabhu asked me to come to Mayapur. However, in ISKCON, who is the primary cause of all causes? It's Prabhupada. So when we say we have to try to please Prabhupada, it includes everything. It's like suppose you have a 100 rupee note. It is not that the 10 rupee note has to be separate. 10 rupee is already within that 100 rupee. So it is not that we have to separately emphasize. We have to please Prabhupada, we have to please our gurus, please Vaishnavas, please this, please that. It's not like that. Moment we say, please Prabhupada, just like Krishna is in full, Prabhupada is in full. Prabhupada is not just one entity. Prabhupada means Prabhupada and his followers, Prabhupada and his institution, everything connected to Prabhupada. So if we have that focus right, then we get it right. Ritvikism is a whole different thing. Anyway, it's very interesting because I want to just touch upon this because if you notice the previous shloka, originally I was supposed to speak on that shloka. It mentions about there are four kinds of priests. One of which is Hota. Sorry, what is that? There was a phrase in connection with Ritvik. Yeah. In this connection, four classes of priests known as Ritvik are required. So Ritvik means basically a priest who does some yajna. You know, so so the point that I was trying to make was that, so when we understand this position, that we accept Prabhupada's teachings absolutely, then we have that full potency from Lord Chaitanya to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. We cannot half accept Prabhupada. We have to fully accept him. So this is a very important point. And in the last paragraph of this purport, Prabhupada explains that yet the super soul who inspires living entity to act is one and changeless. So it says here that the super soul inspires living entities to act. That was the same theme of the previous verse, that how the Lord is the one who gives you remembrance and forgetfulness. Okay. So now again, let's go back to this concept of the full Lord sitting in one's heart. Okay. So when we say the Lord sitting in the heart who inspires us to act, what does that mean? It's different for different people. For the non-devotee, Krishna is manifest as the Paramatma. And he is not directly taking charge of the living entity. What does directly taking charge mean? And what does not directly taking charge mean? Let me explain. Prabhupada explains that suppose there is a king, or let's say in the modern context, let's say the president of America. Now, or president of any country for that matter, since America is considered the most famous country. Okay, let's consider the president of America. Now, what is this? What does he do? He protects all his citizens. That's what his duty is. He protects all his related. He has a relationship with all his citizens. But he also has his private entourage. He's the people who serve him, people who attend to him. And he gives, there's a special attention he gives to those people. So he is in direct charge of people who directly serve him. While he is actually in charge of the entire country, people in the entire country, but he's not in direct charge. He does it through other people. So that is the point. So similarly, when we say Krishna takes charge of the living entities in general, it means that Krishna takes charge of them not directly but indirectly through his material energy. But for devotees, Krishna takes direct charge. Just like the president of America is his private, they are special citizens because he takes direct charge. So devotees are special citizens in the world. Krishna takes direct charge of them. The immediate question is, Krishna takes direct charge only of the premi bhaktas who have got full prema. What about us? We fallen living entities, what about us? Oh, that's applicable only to them. We are still indirect citizens. No! It doesn't mean only those who are in the level of prema bhakti. Prabhupada very clearly explains that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. Now this is a very crucial word which needs to be understood. Now, what does that attitude mean? For example, last time when I gave a class, after that Mataji came and asked me to clarify, to explain a little bit further. So I thought in this class I'll take the opportunity to explain this a little further. That in the practice of Krishna consciousness, there are different levels. You start from Shraddha and you go to prema. Now every step in this process, shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivishti, anartha nivritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema. Right? Every step is considered pure devotional service. It's all in the line of pure devotional service. The highest in that is prema. The starting point in that is shraddha. Just like you have a school, the highest in that may be grade 12. But the starting point is grade 1. So grade 1 can be compared to shraddha. Or grade 1 or 2, I mean, because it's not exactly equal, it's not that there are 12 steps. I'm just giving you an example to make you understand. So the lower stages, like lower classes, like say class 1, class 2, they could be compared to shraddha. But a student is supposed to enroll in that school. It is called the school of pure devotional service. You have to enroll in that school. And then you go from grade 1 to grade 12. So ISKCON is that school of pure devotional service. You are supposed to enroll in this school and take up this process of pure devotional service. It is not that you have to be already a prema bhakta to be called a pure devotee. That's why Prabhupada was asked, how many pure devotees are there in your movement? He said, count how many devotees are there in our movement. He said, everybody is a pure devotee. So pure devotee does not automatically mean he is in the level of prema. It could mean a pure devotee on any of these levels, from shraddha to prema. Now, that is where this word attitude comes in. It is very crucial. Because we know that when we are not on the level of prema, there is always the tendency to commit mistakes. We may make errors. We may make all kinds of things. We may do things imperfectly. So what about that? Still, it is considered perfect as long as we have the attitude. We want to get this right. Oh God, I mean, oh Krishna, we made an error, we made a mistake. Let me get back up. Let me do it right. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna, he considers this. So suppose you see a devotee. Devotee has made some mistake. But that is not the point. You have to see what is the attitude of the devotee. We should not think, oh, this devotee has this fault, that devotee has this fault. No! We are supposed to see what is the devotee trying to do. The devotee is very sincerely trying to attain the goal of Krishna Prema. The Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, you are not supposed to consider, for this part the devotee is imperfect, for this part he is perfect. Not like that. As long as the devotee has an attitude that I want to sincerely try. Oh, what a shame that I am not at that level. I really want to try. I'm failing in different ways, but I sincerely want to reach that goal of Krishna Prema in this very life. As long as that person has that attitude, then you are supposed to consider him a pure devotee in full. That's what it means. I mean, he's on that level, but still, he may not be on the level of Prema, but you're not supposed to say, oh, faulty pure devotee. There's nothing called a faulty pure devotee. I mean, you know, there's like how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, there's nothing called a golden pot. He gives the example for this. He says, nothing called a golden pot made of stone. Meaningless. There's the expression, faulty pure devotee is meaningless. There's no something called a faulty pure devotee. Pure devotee by definition means without fault. So even though apparently you may see some faults, if that devotee, of course, provided, I mean, it's not that you see some devotee making a fault and he's justifying it, creating all nonsense. Prabhupada said, nobody should take advantage of this verse, Apichet Sudhochara, to commit nonsense. Neither should we misinterpret that verse. It means, when we see devotees who have made some faults, we give them the benefit of the doubt. It is all a question of their aptitude. Of course, if we know that the devotee is considering it, then we should keep away. If the devotee's attitude is, doesn't matter, oh, so what? That is the attitude, then we should keep away from such people. But if the devotee has the attitude that I am trying to reach the goal of life and these are all such shameful things that are happening in life, then we should consider that person as a pure devotee. So Krishna, when he says he inspires to act, it depends on our attitude. Depending on our attitude, he tries to make us act. So suppose we have that perfect attitude, then Krishna sitting in our heart, he inspires us. He tells us when we see the wrong things, or he directs us how to act. Suppose we see a devotee, or this devotee has so many faults. Krishna tells us, hey, your attitude is you want to attain Krishna Prema. So forget the faults. Look about the good qualities. Look for the good qualities in the devotees. So like that, but whereas for the non-devotees, as Paramatma, just by the law of karma, indirectly, he makes them remember and forget. Indirectly, not directly, through his agents. He makes them remember and forget whatever is due according to their karma. He has no personal intervention. But once we take to the process of devotional service, pure devotional service, no matter what level you are, Krishna personally intervenes. He inspires us. He makes us remember and forget. How he acts, we don't know. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he is a transcendental autocrat. But that does not mean that he's wild. Transcendental autocrat means he is completely free. And we should remember Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also says that the most prominent characteristic of Krishna is that he is Bhakta Vatsala. That is the most prominent characteristic of Krishna. So he is a transcendental autocrat and he is a Bhakta Vatsala. So how do you reconcile this? So he does whatever he wants. But he does whatever he wants in consideration of the fact that he is very affectionate of us towards his devotees. So we should be confident that if we are in the line of pure devotional service, Krishna will help us, he will direct us to do the right thing. And in such a thing, we should be confident of the fact, Krishna in full, not through his internal energies, personally, he takes interest in our life. So when Krishna takes personal interest in our life, we are not any more interested. All this consideration of whether Rahu is going through, whether we are going through Rahu in our astrological chart, or whether we are going through different kinds of, whether right now it's considered that we are going through Guru Chandala Yoga, all people in the planet, all that is there. But if we are situated personally, properly in pure devotional service, then it is only between Krishna and us. There is no all this Rahu and all these, like Prabhupada said, with one kick, we can kick millions of Rahu planets. So we have a relationship with Krishna. And we should remember this. Once we situated ourselves in this line of pure devotional service, then we don't have to worry about all these karma and all these different other aspects. Krishna takes personal charge, the full Krishna. So I think I'll stop here if there are any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu. Explanation of Radha Parthasati, yes. Pardon? Would you please repeat it again? Prabhupada was asked this question. So he said, do you think then that when Radha is out of Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra? No, she's with him. But she's not manifest. That's all. But she's there. Just like the moon, I gave you the example. Moon means full moon. So Krishna means Krishna in full, with his energies, everything. But he may not be manifest, that's all. Just like Paramatma. Okay, that I don't want to use the example of Paramatma, because that is a discussion it's a different level of discussion. Yogis and devotees. Let's consider only the Lord's incarnations. Sorry, Lord's expansions. Or incarnations in the material world. But whatever. Let's consider the Lord's expansions. So when Lord Ramachandra is there, it's not that he's not full Krishna. He's full Krishna. But he's only manifest to that in a certain way. That's it. To that extent he's manifest. Like Vishnu and Krishna. Why do we say Vishnu has 60 qualities and Krishna has 64? Is it that Vishnu does not have 64? He actually has. But he's the same full Krishna. But only 60 qualities are manifest. That's what it means. That is what Prabhupada is trying to say. Even if the Lord is situated in full in everyone's heart, he's saying. Full means what? This is our philosophy. Yes, Madhush. Krishna Prema. If you have only one desire, even if you have other desires, as long as you feel shameful about other desires, and if you really want only Krishna Prema, that's considered pure devotional service. You can speak in the phone, answer the time. Sorry, mic. Sorry. Okay.
So if we think that our actual attitude to achieve this main goal, Krishna Prema, we have to accept ourselves as pure devotees.
Oh, very good point. Okay. She's asking a question that to attain this Krishna prema, do we have to accept ourselves as pure devotees? No, that's not our mood. Our mood is we are fallen. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam maam vishame bhavam budau kripaya tavapada pankaja sitaduli sadrisham vichintaya. That is our mood. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam maam vishame bhavam. And Narottam Das Thakur sings, no? Nobody, like we sing Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Daya Karo More. So, there, Bosama Patita Prabhu. So the point is that the consideration is nobody more fallen than us. That's our consideration. And what it practically means, Prabhupada explains in the preface to Nectar of, preface to Lord, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. What it actually means? It means six things. Please remember these six things. This is called surrender. Even if you are not there, as long as we want that, this is our reference point. Reference point is, we should accept everything favorable for Krishna's service. Six things. First, accept everything favorable for Krishna's service. Reject everything unfavorable. Firmly believe in the Lord's protection. Be exclusively dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Have no interest separate from the interest of the Lord. Always feel meek and humble. This is what it is. This is what we are supposed to do. And our mood is, that's why when I say attitude is going to get you there. If the attitude is, I have entered the school of pure devotional service, then we are not going to get there. Attitude is, I am not qualified for this. Somehow Prabhupada, through his mercy, through his followers, has put me here. So let me try to do these six things. That is our attitude. So hope this clarifies. Is it clear? Still not clear.
Almost clear. I just thought that also we cannot actually see our attitude is proper because we always can see that our mind is cheater and we are cheating ourselves if we think that this attitude is proper still.
Yes, but at the same time, see, like, it is not that, like, I last time when I gave a class, Harilila Prabhu asked a question, and I responded to that question by saying that nobody can cheat yourself more than yourself. So, you'll know. So, nobody else, I mean, others can detect it if it is obvious to others, they can detect it, and they can tell you, in which case you would accept a correction. But if you are really sincere, you will know. This is not right. But first of all, okay, I agree. Now, there could be ignorance. You may be sincerely ignorant. Right? You may be very sincerely ignorant. But there's no such thing called sincere ignorant. We are ignorant because of something we did in the past. So there's something called sincere ignorance. Ignorance is ignorance. So we can only use sincerity to overcome ignorance. You understood? I don't know if you got my point. Like, Prabhupada does not accept ignorance as an excuse. Right? Like, he gives the example that suppose a child touches fire. The fire is going to burn the child. Right? Just because the child is sincere, touch the fire is not going to spare. Sincerely ignorant child is still going to get the reaction. Right? So sincere ignorance is not an excuse. There's nothing called sincere ignorance. You're ignorant because of some foolish things you've done in the past. So now is use sincerity to overcome your ignorance. Right? Because you are insincere, you got into this trouble. So now become sincere, right? So ultimately you know, it's in your control to become sincere. It's like free will is in your control. So sincerity is also in your control. Don't forget that. If you are acting ignorantly, other people can tell you. But that sincerity itself is in your control. Do not think that the sincerity can come from an outside source. No. The pure devotee can give you Krishna, can give you Krishna, but unless you are sincere, you're not going to accept it. Like, for example, once Prabhupada was in the airport in Philadelphia. So Ravindra Swarup Prabhu explains this very nicely. He was telling that he had a press conference. Right? So after the press conference, one reporter who happened to come late, he thought, I missed it. So he's running to meet Prabhupada. And he asked a very technical, philosophical question. Prabhupada replied in a very simple, two sentences, I guess. Krishna is the absolute truth. If you are sincere, you will accept it. Finished. And he started walking. That's it. So, two sentences, he just answered that question. Krishna is the absolute truth. If you are sincere, you will accept it. So that means Prabhupada is giving him Krishna. Then he's saying, if you are sincere, you accept this. So he's not saying, I can give you sincerity. He's giving the good fortune. But if you have to have the sincerity to accept it. Like in the Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, a very important point in our philosophy also, that when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that even if Lord Chaitanya, forget everybody else, Lord Chaitanya, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is right in front of you, even if he is personally present in front of you, if you are not sincere, you will still fall down. Even if he is there in front of you. This is our philosophy. So, sincerity is not something that we get from outside. It is within us. It's just like, it's a part of free will. It's our constitutional nature. So we have to exercise it. Radha? Radha Madan Mohan, yes? Looks similar, yes? There are many names like that. But then they could say that Krishna himself attracts Madan. There's nothing wrong that they could say. It is Krishna who attracts Madan. They could say it is not Vishnu who attracts Madan or whatever, I don't know. They can say that it is not Krishna in Dwaraka who attracts Madan. I mean, there could be different kinds of arguments. But basic principle is that it is not as... Because Madan is attracted by which Krishna? That's not clear, right? If Madan is attracted by the Krishna in Vrindavan, then people would say that's fine. But any case, whether Krishna and Madan is attracted to the Krishna in Vrindavan or Madan is attracted to Krishna in Dwaraka, it's all fine. Yeah. Radharani is directing Krishna. Krishna gets directed what? Radharani is directing Krishna, Krishna is directing Arjuna. Well, I want to just remind you that in that same conversation, I was originally thinking to bring it, okay? So, allow me to be a little bit strong on this, because Prabhupada is strong. So, they were in Chennai, in Madras, and Prabhupada says, so then Achyutananda says, but they have here Krishna, Radha, Rukmini. Krishna, Radha, Rukmini. And then Achyutananda says, isn't that a bit embarrassing that Rukmini with Radharani and all that? And Prabhupada laughs and he said, what embarrassing? It is not, no, there is no, they say something like Rasabhasa. Prabhupada said, no, what embarrassing? There is no Rasabhasa in this. But, Prabhupada says, it is mental speculation. It is mental. Where does it say that, like, but he says it's a mental speculation. So, it is not Rasabhasa. Krishna can be, Krishna is, when you say Krishna, Krishna means there is Radharani and Rukmini with him. But Prabhupada explains, but Rukmini did not go to see Krishna. Sorry, Radharani did not try to go to see Krishna in Dwaraka. So he says this mental speculation. So when you say Radharani is directing Krishna and Krishna is directing Arjuna, the first question is, where is your reference? Did Prabhupada say it? Did the previous Acharya say it? Who said it? And if nobody has said it, it is mental. That's all. Sorry for being so strong, but I just want to know, what is the reference for that? This is exactly what we should try to avoid. That it is not that if something is nice that we can come up with, it is acceptable. It looks very nice, the construction. Radharani is directing Krishna, Krishna is directing Arjuna. It looks like a very, very interesting construction. But it's a mental construction. Ours is not a process of rational theology. There are two systems of thinking. Rational theology, revelational theology. Rational theology means like this. We start thinking and we think we accept it as all part of the theology. Theology means the study of God. So this particular stream of thinking, that Radharani directs Krishna, Krishna directs Arjuna, is called rational theology. It's coming from your mind. It is not coming from any of the acharyas. But whereas revelational theology means we only accept what is revealed to us. What is only what is revealed to us. It is not that we start thinking. Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is a science of the absolute truth. There is no research work in this. It is only revelational. Whatever is revealed to us, we accept. Sorry for being so strong, but I just wanted to make that point very clear. It is not intended as a personal reference to you. All of us make these kind of mistakes as we try to progress in Krishna consciousness. So nobody is free from these kind of mistakes. I mean, people make various kinds of mistakes. So it's not a reference to you, so please forgive me. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your attitude. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.